This is Community Connect, presented by Tampa General Hospital. I'm Karen Loftus. Joining me is the dynamic duo from the Tampa General Hospital Community Health and Wellness Department. We've got Janice Carr, Tampa Well Community Garden and Food Pharmacy Manager, and Matt Murphy, Registered Dietitian and Senior Community Engagement Coordinator at TGH. Janice and Matt, welcome to the podcast again.
Thanks, Karen. We're happy to be here.
It is so good to be here with you, Karen.
I'm so excited for this. You both have done podcast episodes before, but this is the first one that we have had you both on together. So we are here to talk about nutrition and how we can nourish our bodies and be active participants in our own health by the food we eat. So the phrase food is medicine has become more common in recent years, but for those who are just learning about this concept, what does it exactly mean, Matt?
Great question, because food as medicine has come up a lot in recent years, especially in the healthcare setting. And by the way, food is medicine, food as medicine, they are the same thing. We're talking about food as medicine. The Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics actually has a definition that I really like, and the Academy is the governing body of registered dietitians in the United States. They define food as medicine as a philosophy where food and nutrition aids individuals through interventions that support health and wellness. There's four categories to this: preventative medicine to encourage health and well-being, disease management and treatment, improving nutrition security, and promoting food safety. So we can see that food as medicine isn't really just one thing. It's a collection of a few different aspects of our food system that affect our health.
And just to piggyback off of what you said, Matt, is that food is this thing that you eat and that you need that's vital for your health. So understanding that your health and what you're eating is medicine, it's vital. So the more you make choices around the types of food that you eat, nutritious foods are going to be better for you. Nutrient-dense foods are going to be better for you. So it's going to be like medicine for your body because it's feeding all of these vital things that you need. So just considering that what we eat and how we eat it and what we choose to eat is impacting our health, just like medicine.
So important. So what is the connection between food and overall health then? Can you explain, Matt, the depth of how these two things are intertwined?
Sure. Yeah. And as a registered dietitian, this is what we learn is medical nutrition therapy, or how what we intake affects our health. There is a deep, deep connection between food and health. We see this time and time again with both disease prevention and disease creation, if you will. Food is the chemical building block of our cells. It makes up every component of our bodies, from our blood cells, to our skin, to our cells in our eyes. You are what you eat, truly. And food helps keep our bodies in equilibrium, but there's something called disequilibrium, or disease, as we commonly know it, that can occur from imbalances in our diets. Specifically, this is chronic diseases like obesity, diabetes, liver disease, heart disease, cancer, the list goes on. Some foods are disease-preventing, like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and some foods are disease-promoting, like excess sodium and trans fats. But what's really important is that it's about patterns of the way that we eat, not individual foods. And we've got to think about this in the context of some of the social drivers of health, like our social connections, built environment, our food system, and how that plays into food access.
Janice, whole foods, growing your own foods, this is your specialty, taking it from the soil to the plate, if you will. What can that do for not only somebody's health, but maybe an overall understanding and appreciation for real food?
I'm so glad that you said it that way, because I love that connection between soil and soul, because what grows in the ground, how it grows in the ground, is so connected to livelihood. And that's just a part of my personal story, that there was a time when I was very sick. My family was sick. There was people in my family that started to die. And when I really started looking into things and things that helped to give me a solace and a place, I found was outside, when I was growing something, but also because I found that there was a direct connection with some of their conditions that they were dying from that were diet related. And so I thought, how do I grow my own food so that I can feed life into my family? And that those things were from the garden that my grandmother used to have, that I now had started growing in my own yard so that I can feed life into my children. And so I just encourage that connection was so important with understanding how food really does relate to health.
I can hear in your voices how much you both appreciate food as medicine and appreciate food for what it can do for the body. Can you explain what happens when people appreciate food differently? And I know you both get to see this firsthand at the food pharmacy when patients go on this journey with you both.
So Janice and I have a really great privilege at this organization to interact with patients in a very unique way at the food pharmacy. It's a space that's both clinical and non-clinical at the same time. We get to see our patients get very excited about food. And something that we're thinking of the other day was this idea of psychological safety, or giving patients the space to get a little bit curious and vulnerable and learn some new things about their food. So it also gives space for appreciation and engagement. We've got so many ways of engagement, like cooking demonstrations or harvests in the garden or volunteer opportunities that our patients really love. And they love engaging with our clinicians like us and the people who work at Health Park, which is the clinic right next door. They also enjoy engaging with other patients in that psychologically safe aspect of sharing stories and just talking to someone who really understands where they're coming from. And we know that appreciation for food brings in mindfulness and that mindful practice of eating, which includes, you know, paying attention to your hunger and fullness cues, honoring your own preferences, and just sort of addressing what you need in the moment. I think our patients become a little more intuitive with the way that they interact with food because of that.
Yes, and to add to that, what happens when people appreciate food differently reminds me of one of our patients. And she said to me, we were introducing some nutrition classes. There's all these other elements. Would you like to take the classes? And this was towards the close of her referral. And she said, what do I need a nutrition class for if I don't have any food? She's like, what's the point of all these other engagements if I don't have this vital necessity called food, which is a very good point. And so in one sense, it's how people engage in it. If it's a necessity, it's just I need to get whatever I can. But she has a garden. She's growing her own food. She comes every Wednesday to the garden to pick up the harvest from the garden. She picks up the fresh foods. She comes to her appointments on time. She sees Matt. She goes to the nutrition classes. So she's engaging in food differently, even though she needed as a necessity that opportunity, that psychological safety to explore, to ask questions, to engage in different things, is really helping her health. She's lost pounds. She brings us like food to just enjoy. Just had a nice dish that I made for you. But it's an example of how that initial engagement was a necessity, but what it offered was an opportunity for her to explore so many different things.
Okay, so what if someone's not quite there yet on this full appreciation of food as medicine, as fuel, as sustenance? What are a few simple ways people can improve their relationship with food? Janice, you want to take this one first?
Grow your own food. I encourage you to do that. Even if it's a plant, it's an herb. If it's just something that's living, there's something about nurturing and taking care of something that then again adds to nurturing and taking care of you. So even if it's an herb or if it's a tomato, maybe it's something very simple. I just encourage to engage in that process to see it from start to finish and to participate in it, because that is the very purposeful, mindful engagement that you want to have with every choice that you make about food.
And I love what you said, Janice, about mindful engagement, that purposeful engagement in your food. That's my favorite way to approach food, is engaging with meaning, engaging with curiosity. Sometimes with patients one-on-one, we'll talk about relationship with food. And a lot of times it comes back to this aspect of engaging and curiosity. So for example, it might be asking questions like, have blueberries always had seeds? Or can you try ordering something from the unknown section of the menu when you go out to a restaurant? This works really well with eating natural foods because we can explore them, like, you know, blueberries or kiwi or anything you grow in your garden. It also works with processed foods, believe it or not. There's a lot of food science that goes into making them really tasty. So, you know, why does it melt in my mouth? Or why does it smell better or worse than the taste? The curiosity and flexibility help to build a stronger relationship with food versus having these hard and fast rules around the diet.
I like those points. Those are both good. So, okay. So simple ways people can improve their relationship with food. Janice says, grow your own food. And Matt says, curiosity. To wrap things up, if you could change one thing about the way people think about food, what would it be? Matt, you want to take this one first?
This is a hard question because I know there is so much nuance around nutrition that is involved with psychology and behavior change and our built environment. But if I had to say one piece of advice about nutrition, it's really that food is fuel. That goes along with the idea of food is medicine. And just understanding, adding things that we need can sometimes be more impactful than always focusing on something you need to take away. So getting curious, being more mindful, and having lots of flexibility are some strategies to help realize that food is our fuel.
Yes. And so I would say that to not think of food as a privilege, but as a right. And with that right, that's something that is available to us that we can decide how we engage it. So making mindful choices and decisions around what we eat, how we eat, what we have access to eat, how we use what we have access to is an empowerment to make mindful decisions by whatever it is that we have.
I love it. Thank you both so much. Thank you for all of the information that you have shared and joining us on this podcast.
Thank you, Karen. That was a great experience.
Thank you, Karen. It's always a pleasure.
That has been Janice Carr and Matt Murphy. For more information, please visit www.tgh.org/chw. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and follow Community Connect, presented by TGH, on your favorite podcast platform. I'm Karen Loftus, and this is Community Connect, presented by TGH. Thanks for listening.